This is Scott Becker with Becker's Healthcare, thrilled today to be joined by a long-term colleague, Wendy Rubis. Wendy is now the general counsel at VillageMD, a company that just raised a great deal more money and a very successful company. Wendy, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Thank you, Scott, and thanks for having me. So much fun to be on your podcast. I'm a listener, so thanks for including me. As you said, I'm general counsel of VillageMD. Been a healthcare lawyer for many years, beginning at a firm called Ross & Hardy's many years ago with the illustrious Scott Becker. and I'm a mother of two teenagers, which is hard to believe, and always, you know, fascinated by what my kids drag me into. And I'm an advisor to Cubing USA, which is the Rubik's Cube speed solving association in America. And so thanks for having me.
So in terms of three issues, being general counsel, raising two children, or solving the Rubik's Cube, what's the hardest of those three?
They're related. I think, I don't solve the Rubik's Cube. I have a solver who's my son. And so I cannot solve it even once. But I do work with Cubing USA, which is an amazing group of brilliant, mostly engineering types who have formed this national and now international group of competitions for kids. It's very cool.
And how fast does your son solve it?
He's at about, I think he's around 10, 12 seconds, but the fastest is about 5.
That's unbelievable. Is the holdup at 5 to 10 seconds of solving it, is the holdup a physicality one or a mental one? How do you even get that quick of solving?
It starts to get, you know, crazy with how quickly can you turn the timer off and things like that. But yeah, and there's all these mental things that these kids learn. Like, you know, they have this expression, go faster to go slow, go slower to go fast, because your mind has to be one step ahead. It's an incredible group of kids. But, you know, Scott, kids today are not like we were. I mean, they're teaching each other. You know, they all have channels on YouTube. And so, you know, like the adults are quite irrelevant to the whole thing.
That is really, really an amazing thing. And how old are your children at this point that one is solving the Rubik's Cube in 10 seconds?
I have a sophomore. That's my Rubik's Cuber. And a senior, sadly. I'm trying not to say it's sad, but it is sad. But yes, I have a senior. So we're in our senior. She's our senior year in high school.
So let me ask you a question. You've had an amazing career, and I followed it. Obviously, early on in your career, you worked with me. You liked that so much that you left after about a year and then went to other jobs, other professions. You know, been general counsel at a hospital and health system, have been sort of in the business side as well. Now general counsel of a great growing company.
Yeah.
Just a quick note. I do want to give one quick shout out to VillageMD and have you just take a moment to tell people about VillageMD, where you work now. And then I want to get some of your advice for leaders and women leaders. But just a quick shout out to what
VillageMD
does and so forth.
Is a little bit hard to describe because basically what we're doing is changing healthcare. And a lot of people say that, but VillageMD is very committed to doing that. And the way they're doing it is by working with and helping empower primary care physicians to get back to keeping people, being the hub of the care continuum, and keeping people well and healthy instead of, you know, going into acute events in hospitals and so on. They're doing that through technology and a series of other proprietary approaches. And so it's a good time to be at VillageMD. It's an exciting time really in healthcare, it's a fantastic company full of really smart people trying to do the right thing.
And I know that you've got great leadership there. And if not to digress, I would ask you whether it's harder to advise your senior and sophomore or it's harder to advise Tim and the other leadership, both great, 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 great people. And I don't want to digress. Tim is one of the brightest, best people I know, and I don't want to go
absolutely.
Go
and Tim
go
is not hard to advise. Tim is not hard to advise. I would say the sophomore, the teenagers, definitely want to hear what I have to say a lot less than Tim. So I'm learning to try to pivot as a parent from the boss to the consultant, and it is not easy.
It's a fascinating truism that your kids want to hear from you when they want to hear from you and not all the time, and it's fascinating. Yeah. You can't hit them over the head with advice. They'll just zone you out. But let me ask you this question. You're a woman leader. You've had a great professional career, or having a great professional career. What advice do you have for women leaders?
It's funny. You know, one thing I've noticed recently and just working here at Village is I'm learning from a lot of the younger women coming up. I think they're less encumbered by a lot of the baggage that women that have been practicing or been in the work world longer. So, you know, I think they have a fresh perspective and an empowerment that a lot of us older women don't. But the one thing I think as women we all have to continually try to tune into is just what we want. A lot of times I ask people whether they work for me or if I'm, you know, we're in conversations, just try to tune into what is it that you want. And usually good things come out of answering that question. But it's surprising to me how often as women we can't answer that. Whether it's solving a particular problem at work, what do we want? What do we want the answer to be? Or just more broadly in your career path, what do you want? And I think that's a question that we have to put back into our planning.
And isn't that so important? Because if you don't come up with your own clarity of goals, what you're trying to do, what you want out of life, everything's sort of a lot of action and interaction and activity, but it doesn't necessarily get you any place because you don't have clarity about, okay, what I'm really trying to do is have great children, a great family. I'm really trying to have a great career, a great profession. I want to be a leader here. I want to do this, but I know I can't do everything. But it's really clarifying what do you really want is so important. And we used to say, it's so funny you say that, we used to say that the biggest determinant of happiness in a career is whether somebody has made their own plan for themselves or not, that they've made in whatever it might be. But that clarity of what you want is so important. And I also agree with you about –
Well, if you don't define it, it will be defined. It's up to you whether it'll be your definition or, you know. And it's hard. It's hard for all of us. I by no means would say it's something I figured out. But I think at least having an answer to the question, what do you want? It's a start. It's an important start. And for women, we're so focused on what everybody else wants sometimes that we don't actually even answer the question.
I want you to talk about something you just mentioned because I think it's the most important thing for people to realize is you just said if you don't define your goals and what you're going to do, someone else will define it for you, and thus you're always somebody else's plan versus your own. Can you talk about that for one moment? Because I think that is the most true statement.
Well, it's micro and macro. I mean, even in the work I do as a general counsel, when we encounter problems, when we encounter, you know, just things with the work that we do, if we don't define a pathway and a solution, someone will. And I always tell people that in the corporate world or, you know, as a lawyer, if you don't define, so we try to answer the question, you know, before it's asked, what is our service level? What is our, you know, what do we want this to look like? How do we want this to work? Because that, you know, it just becomes part of leadership. And just in a more macro way, it's something that, you know, I've come to understand is that defining what I want and how I want things to go and where I see things going, it's an important first step. And I've learned just in leading teams, especially, you know, when you're a lawyer, sometimes it's an assembly line of problems that come at you. That's what we do is we you know, people don't tend to call us when things are just going great. And so one way that, you know, we can make sense of it all is defining, you know, how we want things to work and how to have a path and a plan through that. And you just almost can't stress it enough, really.
Thank you. Let me ask you a different set of questions. Is there a woman leader that you particularly admire or someone that you're particularly, you know, think is fantastic? And if you can, why so?
Well, you know, there's a couple women that I've come to know here at Village that just have transformed even the way I can imagine a woman leader. And one of them is Annie Lamont, who is a board member here at Village MD. She's co-founder and managing partner of Oak HCFT. and she's, you know, been identified as a Midas Touch investor by Forbes at different points. And she just has a style in the boardroom and a strength that I just have not seen before, and I just really admire. She's beyond, I mean, she's knowledgeable and she brings an expertise and all that, but she just has a manner and a way of conducting herself that I just think is incredibly powerful. And I've just really enjoyed getting to know her. Another woman leader we have here at Village is Erin Page, who is president of our Houston market. And Erin is one of the first healthcare leaders I've ever worked with that understands payers and understands providers and speaks both languages fluently. It's so rare. And in today's environment, we have, you know, Tower of Babel in healthcare, as you know, Scott. Everybody speaks their own language, and that's where we see failures happening, whether it's you're getting into skilled nursing care, but you don't speak nursing home, or, you know, we've seen as lawyers these trends and patterns. Erin has really demonstrated fluency in both, and I think that is just an incredible talent and skill that she's brought. So Village MD has really shown me some terrific women and is really focused on elevating women.
That's fantastic. And another question, Wendy, about change. You, over the course of your career, have made a handful of different pivots. Talk about the courage to make those pivots. And when you make those pivots, those changes, what has to happen? What do you have to do to make sure those pivots go well? Talk a little bit about this, because now as people get into careers, in the old days, they might have stayed in place for 20, 30 years. Yep. Nobody seems to do that anymore. Now they seem to pivot periodically. They have to pivot. You've had great careers at a handful of places now. Tell me about that pivoting and how that works.
It's
and what
so
advice
painful.
You have.
And I keep saying, for whatever reason, I start legal departments and build legal departments. And I've worked in organizations that had been, you know, around for a long time, but really didn't have a robust built out legal department in terms of the core operations functions that go on. And it's funny because I always say, like, okay, this is my last one. I'm not building that. I'm not doing this again. And here I am doing it again. But every time you do it, you know, you do it better and you learn so much more. And I think I'm kind of understanding myself that I'm sort of a maker and I like to make things. And so I think the to answer your question, I think that there's things that that we all sort of like to do. And you don't always realize it about yourself. I mean, going to law school, you don't learn how to make, you know, a legal department function. But I think what I tell people and what I'm always trying to do is tune into what it is I'm enjoying and what it is I do first. If I have too much to do, what do I get done? And those are usually clues as to directionally where you want to go. But the truth is, Scott, sometimes it's just for me, it's just been almost good luck. People call me and say, hey, can you help me? And that's sort of what happens, you know. And one thing kind of leads to another. I never thought I'd leave the healthcare system. And coming here was a big identity crisis almost. Like, I'm a hospital lawyer, but I have not regretted it even a day. And this is just opening up my mind to a whole new set of challenges and interesting things. So, you know, I guess, like you said, it's seasonal today. We're always growing and learning and have to constantly challenge ourselves toward new things. And that's what makes it fun to be a lawyer today, I think.
Let me ask you a question about a couple of things, because one thing you said, you've been sort of lucky that people contact you and find you. And I know that if I remember correctly, you graduated like first in your law school class. And you also have this great mix of personal skills, of connecting skills and networking skills. So I would challenge the concept that it's luck that leads you to be called. I would say it's this great mix of tremendous intelligence and competency coupled with great personal skills and people skills that together with drive is so much of professional success. So I would sort of challenge you being called luck.
Thank you for the compliment. But I was talking to a couple other general counsel a couple weeks ago, and we were sort of talking about how when you're the lawyer, you know, the basic thing is you have to get the answer right. That's a basic criteria. You have to be right. But that's actually not enough. You have to, like, people can't hate calling you. And there's something about that formulation, which is, you know, I used to say it's like excellent and lovely, or, you know, people call it different things. But there is a service element to what we do, and you can't be, you know, horrible to talk to. And so how to manage both of those is hard sometimes, but that's what we try to do. And I think I graduated second, which I just don't want to leave a wrong impression.
Well, second's a very, very different thing out of hundreds of people. It's a magnificent.
I just don't want to be inaccurate.
No. And that's fair. That's a magnificent, though. There's a couple points that you make there, and thank you for correcting me on that. Salutatorian, valedictorian, incredibly impressive. Regardless, the point that you make, though, whether it's a lawyer, a professional, or any kind of person, there's something that happens when you get on the phone with them or you're in a conversation with them. Either one, they give the impression that they want to be in the conversation, or two,
yeah,
they give the impression that they ultimately can't wait to get off the phone because they're just so busy or they're so constrained or
right,
whatever it is. And I think it's just this very, it's almost a sense that's given off almost immediately of, does someone want to be on the phone with you or not? Do they want to talk to you or not? And that openness to go with a very bright mind, to go with great achievement orientation, is something that's not as easy to find as you think it should be. And thus it leads to people wanting to talk with one and wanting to be part of what they're doing, or in your case, wanting to find you for the next opportunity. And so a magnificent set of qualities. Wendy, a different question. How do you keep yourself motivated over the course of a year, a career, both? How do you keep yourself excited and motivated?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think what motivates me is really innovation and new things, and improving how I work. So every now and then I take an innovation day, and I just try to study who's the best? Who's the best at what I'm, you know, whatever it is I'm trying to do, and then bring my team together, and we start to say, like, how do we get to that? You know, that has been a change that I made in the last few years, and has really transformed my understanding of how to be a leader. Is having a vision and a plan. Again, in the legal department, many times you're doing an assembly line of, whether it's contracts, whether it's issues, problems. So for us to have our own anchor and be moored to our own direction and arc of, here's what we're going to be innovating, is been, you know, motivating. And it's a great time to be a lawyer. There is so much that we as lawyers have to do differently. And we are just now having technology that enables it to get easier. And so I'm really interested in the practice of law and how to make it better. That is motivating to me.
That's fantastic. And Wendy, one final question. I know I've kept you on the phone longer than expected. The final question, if this year goes well for you, what does that look like? I mean, to say jokingly, does it mean your son gets down to 7 seconds in the Rubik's Cube? Or are there bigger goals this year than that? What does a good year look like for you and your family and you professionally?
Well, professionally, we have some big ideas that we're working on that, you know, we're always interested in effectiveness. So we're looking at the advice we give and the documents that we create and how to make those better. So we're getting very graphic in our policies and procedures. I told the team, I want a storybook of my policies, and they all grown because they're younger. So they were like, nobody has books anymore. It's got to be electronic. So we're making, like, you know, our policies better. And it's very cool and exciting. And we're working on some risk analytics and things like that that are very cool and exciting. Of course, at home, this is our big college year, so getting my daughter safely off to college at a place where I can get to easily would be a good year. I'm going to have to come up with some kind of side project, because I'll probably drive my son absolutely crazy I told him it's just 100% of me focusing on you after she leaves, which just he loves, let me tell you.
That's hilarious, actually. Well, you've got a big year then, because you're trying to improve things on the legal team there and the business team there, and trying to help everyone you can at Village MD. Well, you're trying to get the first one into and off to college, and then trying to make sure you don't drive the second one crazy.
Right. Both challenging, yes.
A great set of goals. Wendy, it's always a great pleasure to talk to you. I can't thank you enough for joining the Becker's Healthcare podcast today. You're just a tremendous person and leader, and I appreciate you joining us so much.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks so much.